There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, everybody. It's another day to change the world. So today's guest and I talk about employer branding. And employer branding is essentially a way for you to position your company in an effective way that attracts and improves your talent acquisition. And considering the fact that we spend most of our lives in some workplace or some place of employment, it's very important for leaders and people in positions of hiring to understand what they need to do to ensure that the environment that they cultivate for people to work in are safe and also inclusive. And so we talk about these sort of things with Mr. Sundberg here. It was pretty impressive, his background, and I really, really hope that you all can benefit from this, especially if you're a CEO and if you are someone that's aspiring to be a leader of people. Hope you enjoyed the episode. And I just want to answer a question that was asked to me earlier. Someone sent me an email asking me this, so I figured I'd answer it here. My favorite superhero of all time is Superman, and my favorite athlete of all time is LeBron James. There you go. Keep sending me questions. Keep sending me things you want to know, and I'll answer them sometimes on the podcast, or I'll send you a response via email or on Twitter or on Instagram. I love talking to you all. I love interacting, and I'm always grateful for you to have stayed with me for the past, 4 years that we've been doing this. Love you all. Take a listen.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's episode is with Jorgen Sundberg. And Jorgen is an amazing just thought leader in the whole space of employer branding and employee advocacy. He's published a book titled Employee Advocacy, The Ultimate Handbook. And he's consulted with the likes of, multinationals, ranging from the U.S. here to Europe, where he's currently based. And a lot of times when we live and exist in a world today, we understand that we work for most of our lives. If we're not in school, we're either in work. And how then can you make sure that you position your company, if you're a CEO, as one that attracts people from all backgrounds? And how can you become someone that, feels happy to be his or herself in your company if you're going to be in the place that in essence represents you outside of the family? So we're talking about ways to become better at recruiting and also some of the talent acquisition trends, insights, and some of his thoughts and opinions as he's been a thought leader in the space. Welcome to the podcast, Jorgen.
Yeah, thank you, Ty. thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure.
Pleasure is mine. Right off the bat, there's a similar connection that we have. You're Swedish, and I said I used to live in Sweden. My younger brother, the middle one, actually was born in Sweden, Stockholm. And it was funny, we were talking earlier, when I saw your email, I was like, I need to reach out to him because I listen to his podcast and I think there'll be a good fit. So I think it's interesting how the world works sometimes.
Yeah, well, I am originally from Sweden, from Stockholm, in fact.
Okay.
just a beautiful place. However, I've been based over here in London for the last 15 years. And I know you've got a multinational background as well, and sometimes it's hard to put your finger on, am I British, am I Swedish, or am I a Londoner? I don't know, really. But,
I can definitely relate. That's why a lot of people in the podcast listen to podcasts, how to effectively connect across cultures. But let's start off with you. How did you, what was your, you know, what was young Jorgen like? And then how did you sort of get down this this path that you're in right now, where you're doing amazing things in the employer branded space?
Gosh, young Jorgen, well, this is like a therapy session now. I think just your average upbringing. Actually, I went to the US for a year in high school. I did an exchange year, which was great fun. It's in Virginia. And so I think that allowed me to see the world from a different perspective. So I always knew that I wanted to work on something something global, something with an international perspective. And when I finished university in Stockholm, I did 1 year of working in finance there. But then I thought, no, screw this. I need to do something more challenging. So I moved to London and was looking for just any job in sales, really. That was my plan. And I ended up in recruitment, as many people do. Didn't realize there was more of a, it's essentially where HR marries up sales. So it's really talking about opportunities and people's careers and so on, which I found really interesting. So I stayed in that role, in that company, actually, for 7 years. But during those years, I realized that some of the clients that we were working with, we were working with the likes of Deloitte and Accenture and SAP and IBM and so on. It was all tech recruiting. I realized that some of these companies had more of a, attraction power. They were more of a magnet to candidates, whereas others, you could get them through the interviews, you could get them a really good offer, but for some reason, they didn't take that offer. So I thought, there must be something in there around employer brand, around reputation, talent attraction. So back in 2010, I left the world of recruitment and went full time doing employer branding, and that's where we are today.
That's fascinating, because you talked about the idea. You said naturally you ended up in sales. I think that's usually when a lot of times people are trying to figure out what they want to do. There's always some sales job. They say, hey, well, you can make a commission or you could do this. But you left recruiting, you said, for employer branding. Now, what exactly is employer branding?
Very good question. So I think, first of all, if we take one step back, we take three letters out there, and what is employer brand? So employer brand to me is the reputation of a company in an employment context. And the thing is with reputation is that you don't actually own it. You can perhaps influence it, but ultimately it's what other people say about you when you're not in the room, as Jeff Bezos says. So it's really how candidates, employees, and alumni, how they feel about the organization in an employment context. So that's employer brand. And employer branding is the activity of trying to manage the brand or trying to influence the brand and perhaps trying to pull out some of the positive and the good stories around what it's like to work for this company, and also try to spread the brand further to people who may not be aware of your company as an employer. And this is something, I think employer brand has become really topical because so many traditional companies are now realizing that they need to shift gears and recruit tech talent, digital talent, millennials and all this stuff. So they really have to change their tack and really think about what it's like to work for the company and what makes them special. And that's really how employer branding helps us.
It's so interesting as well, because if you look at the last few years, we've seen, you know, big established companies like Pepsi, H&M, you know, Starbucks, you know, recently, all these companies that have done, you never would expect any, you know, I guess now you can sort of expect faux pas, but sometimes you still get surprised by some of the things that do affect branding, whether H&M with the, you know, the monkey in the jungle shirt, or, you know, Pepsi with Kendall Jenner coming out to sort of represent Black Lives Matter. I'm very curious from your point of view, what you think is happening when you see these things that ultimately do affect the brand of those companies.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think companies make poor choices all the time in terms of advertising campaigns or just bad taste, or in the case of Facebook as well, just leaking consumer data and so on. So companies, they do have reputational issues to deal with on an ongoing basis. Sometimes they screw up big time. And I think it's more about how they deal with it, how they own up to the mistake. And I actually say that, yeah, we are going to work it through and it's not going to happen again. So for instance, Facebook, I'm sort of talking about Facebook only because it's a recent example, but Mark Zuckerberg, when this scandal about Cambridge Analytica, all this data being leaked, when that came out, then he was quiet for 5 days. And Sheryl Sandberg, who's known for leaning into management and all this stuff, she didn't say a word either. So it was really down to everyone to speculate what's going on and so on. And that was really a sign of really poor leadership. So I think Facebook is going to survive because the sheer size of Facebook. But if it had been a smaller company, more of a challenger, then that could have broken the whole business.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, Facebook is one of those companies that, they're behemoth. It's like, I'm sure if something like this happened to Amazon, or Apple, those ones will survive. But what happens when it's a smaller company? Why does employer branding matter?
Yeah, so when you're a smaller company, then you probably won't have enough funds to compete on salary, for instance. May not have the best benefits, might not have the fanciest office. So you might want to highlight other things such as purpose. Why are we doing this? What's the end game? And perhaps the culture and the people and the community around the company. So people might have a very different feeling, experience working for the company. So you want to, if you're a small company, yeah, you don't want to go up against the behemoths and say, we can offer you X, Y, and Z. You don't want to get into a bid war or an auction. Yeah. Instead, try to go for the sort of softer option. So perhaps if you're in the tech space or in the growth trajectory, then you could perhaps offer shares or some sort of option scheme so that people can take part in the growth journey. So it's really looking at what's unique about your company and from an employment perspective, and what's the unique combination of those factors, and really working in that your narrative around that.
And what you just said there was essentially a probably overlooked benefit of employer branding is the reduced cost per hire. That's essentially what I was hearing. I mean, maybe that's not what you meant to say, but
So it comes in two ways, actually. So first one is reduce hiring costs. Mm-hmm. So that if you have more of a magnetic brand, if people seek out your company and apply direct, then that means you will have less reliance on advertising, which can cost a lot of money, and also less reliance perhaps on third-party recruitment firms, which big organizations use all the time. So that you can straight away see costs being slashed there. And then number two, as you rightly pointed out, salary costs. So ultimately, what you're looking for is the ability to hire above average talent at average salaries. So I wouldn't champion trying to undercut other companies and say, we're the best, so that's why you need to take a lower salary.
Sure.
Instead, I would say, we pay a good salary just like everyone else, but if you choose to come and work here, that will be for other reasons. It's not going to be because you're chasing that just one more dollar.
Right. No, yeah, no, I love it. And I can definitely see further that why a smaller company will fare a lot less than a larger company, because, when it happened to Uber a year and a half ago, they were a billionaire enough company where they could spend a lot of money to sort of, try to mitigate. We'll get, Arianna Huffington, we'll do all this diversity programs, do all that. If it was another company, that could have really bankrupted them. That could have bankrupted them as well, especially when you go through losing your CEO and then getting another board member and then all that process. So it's very important to be mindful. So even though a lot of companies are thinking, employer brand is not really a big deal, it does play a big role. Can you talk a little bit more about some mistakes companies make with their branding?
Well, I think employers. the Yeah, the big mistake is to jump straight into the activation and the campaigns around employer branding. So creating content and paying thousands of dollars in advertising for Facebook ads or LinkedIn ads and so on, without actually really thinking, taking one step back and looking at the overall strategy. So why are we doing this? What's special about us? Who are we actually trying to attract? Try to future-proof your strategy as well. So looking into the next 3 years, what are some of our the target groups that we really need to catch? So I see companies spending an awful lot of money just blanketing a marketplace, whereas it's not targeted enough. It's not a strategy that's actually going to give very good return on investment. But Yeah, unfortunately, it's kind of easy when you're on there, when you're on the business manager on Facebook. It's easy to just start spending a bit of money and see some metrics happening, and you think your employer branding is rolling, but you could be increasing the efficiency so much by doing it strategically.
Yeah, and another thing that I see a lot of times is some companies simply advertise on job boards. And I don't know if you'll agree with me, but those aren't effective anymore because, I mean, you were talking about the increased demand for talent all over the world. And I as someone who is in the millennial generation, I consult and speak often to several companies. And a lot of times, there's this divide where people are like, I know there are a lot of options for me to do things on my own, whether it's the gig economy or to build my personal brand and sort of turn that into a whole career. And then on the other hand, the companies are like, how can I get some of those people into my company? And so if you're just blanketing simply advertising on job boards, you're not necessarily going to find a lot of us there. Because we don't know what your strengths are. We don't know why we should work for you or something like that. So
And I think some of the job boards they're clocked onto this now. I mean, the good times for job boards were probably 5 years ago. Now they realize that they have to offer more than just job postings. So some of them are now giving you like a company page on Indeed, for instance, or Glassdoor, and where you can put in some of your branding materials and videos and all these things. So it becomes a bit more of an outpost. So ultimately, a company will want you to come to their career page. So the actual website and apply there because it's easy for them to track, but it becomes another outpost. And I would say around job boards, there are far too many of them out there. And now also Google have just launched Google for Jobs. So I think a lot of the job searches moving forward are going to be happening. They already happen at Google, but previously Google have been done referring you to a job board or career site somewhere, but now Google are going to scrape everything and doing it themselves. So, yeah, it's going to be tough times for job boards.
Okay, all right. Well, when Google gets involved, it's always interesting. So there's something studying your work. I saw that you talk a lot about employer value proposition.
Yeah,
What is or EVP? What is that?
Yeah, so the EVP is essentially your articulation.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Of the employer brand. So that is where you pull out, the way it works is you pull out, you map out the employer brand. What is the employer experience? What do people really think about working here? So that's good, bad, and ugly. And then you try to draw out perhaps 3 to 5 of these pillars which let's say one could be flexible work is really good here, or career opportunities, or the opportunity to work on CSR projects and so on. So it's trying to pull together that unique combination of what makes this your company better than the competitor, or at least hopefully to candidates. And then also communicate or writing up the guidelines around this. So you have the pillars, you have a tagline, so this is what it's like to work for us. And then also how do you then articulate that in terms of a visual language? So what type of imagery should be used, what even down to what fonts should be used, tone of voice and all of that. So it's really coming up with a brand strategy for your talent communications. And yeah, I mean, this could be a 3 to 6 month project, and depending on the size of the organization, it can be fairly complex. And especially if your company is in different countries and trades in the different names and so on, that's further layers of complexity. But it's super useful to have this in place before you start activating things on social media and other places.
Right, right. Definitely gives people an idea of what it's like to work for your company. And you're so right with the different, you know, different companies. You know, you could be, no, sorry, same company with different countries. You know, there are certain nuances and subtleties. And if you can't communicate that effectively, you're missing out on you know, a good way to attract people as well. So,
Yeah, so I would say on an effective EVP will be an overall, let's say, global EVP, but then you want to give countries and companies, so subsidiaries, the freedom to actually tailor that. So you have one for the US, but that doesn't have to look exactly the same in Sweden, because Sweden might have different local varieties to it. But it should, the red thread should be there, and you should recognize it's the same company, but tailored to local conditions.
Brilliant, 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 brilliant. And if anyone is even more curious about what Employer Branding is, you know, Jorgen hosts an amazing podcast called Employer Branding Podcast, right? Is that correct?
And, yes, it's a very apt name, isn't it?
Yeah. It couldn't be more apt. And it's one that I listen to often, is someone who was in a similar field, just, you know, and he brings a lot of people on there to talk about. He's almost at 200 episodes. He brings a lot of people to talk about, you know, what that looks like on definitely a global scale. And we just hear a lot of insight. So if this is something you're interested in, whether you're an HR leader, recruiter, whatever it is that you're interested in, whatever field you are actually in the company, it's definitely something that you should be aware of, just because one of the best ways other than profits is to make sure you have productive employees and ones that stay and that you can retain. And so this is one of the best podcasts out there for that. So definitely
want to make sure.
Yeah, pleasure's there. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Let's talk about another thing that you talk about often, which is employee advocacy. And you published a book titled Employee Advocacy, The Ultimate Handbook. What is that?
That's the one, yes. So employee advocacy is, I think it's been around for probably the last 10 years. It's just the title has, the concept has got its name in the last couple of years probably. So employee advocacy is really working with employees, so it's the staff of an organization, to encourage them to use digital media, so social media probably most common, to talk about the company. So to talk about company in different respects. So that could be talking about products, or about services, about jobs, about the employer brand, about culture, perhaps about news as well. And so it's about equipping employees with confidence. So perhaps running some internal workshops, talking about the power of social media and how it can actually help you as an individual, for your own personal brand, if you start talking about the industry and about your company on places like Twitter and LinkedIn. And also, it will then rub off on the company brand, of course, because people from the outside and the inside, they will see that, this seems to be a place where there's lots of engaged employees who are happy to talk about the organization. So I would say try to provide people with some training around how to do this effectively, and also to give people the trust and say, you know, here are some guidelines, However, ultimately, these are your social media channels. You can do what you like on them within reason, of course. And we trust that you will do the right thing. And then you'd be amazed about how people really pick that up and are really activated on your behalf. Yeah. So, yeah, I spoke to Merck, the pharma company, in the other week on my podcast, actually. And they were really talking about that's exactly what they do. They're a company in a very regulated industry can seen as very traditional. But the way that they've transformed their whole employee brand is through employee advocacy. So really training people, giving them the trust, and also gamification. So you could even do leaderboards and say, okay, so who's done the best tweets this month, or right. who got the most clicks on their updates and so on, just for fun, really.
Yeah, no, this is amazing. And with the platforms you're talking about, is there any particular social media that you've seen is the best platform to use this? Is it Instagram? Is it Twitter? Is it, I don't know, LinkedIn, Facebook?
Yeah, so you're going to hate the answer, but it depends.
I actually do understand that answer, because I do think it does depend. But I was curious in your research, because, you know, since you wrote the book, I didn't know if there was...
Yeah, I mean, typically the companies that we work with will be large enterprises, so 10,000 employees and more. And for them, LinkedIn would be number one, because it's the B2B network. Mm-hmm. And I think Twitter is also very handy, for especially to network with people who you may not know so well. Whereas LinkedIn is a bit more, you kind of know people you let into your network. Right. And Twitter is more an open chat. Also, increasingly, Instagram, super useful, because people use hashtags very effectively. So if you are a company and if you want to start creating sort of community around employee engagement, then you probably want to have your own hashtag. So Adobe Life, for instance, hashtag Adobe Life is an example. If you click on that hashtag on Instagram or on Twitter, you'll see lots of employees doing updates about what it's like to work for Adobe, about the culture, events and stuff that they're doing. And that's a super helpful way to also be able to measure how many people are using these hashtags on a monthly basis. So, Instagram would probably be up there with Twitter and LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, hashtags especially are – essentially what keywords are, or tags are, on Facebook, what keywords are to Google. And it's also a great way, when you have a custom one, to have UGC or user generated content. And, you know, whether that improves your brand awareness, but it also, due to the gamification, you can run competitions towards that, you can create a community, and, you know, you can have a whole sort of slew of information that you might not have initially intended when you started, but you can sort of see what your fans do, you know, people that use your hashtag like and what they don't like. And then that can inform a lot of your next brand and efforts.
Yeah, absolutely. So you hit the nail on the head there, user generated information, so content. So I think it looks so much more authentic and real from the outside. If someone is considering either partnering up with your company or buying some services from you or joining as an employee, if they can click on a hashtag where they can see that people are happily sharing interesting updates and that they actually seem to be happy with their company, that's going to mean a lot in that decision-making process. Super important.
100%. Let's think about, now I want to talk about your personal career, actually your personal life in general, where it relates to, you just had the Sweden and the London. Are you Swedish enough? Are you British enough? I obviously relate a lot to this, where you know, a lot of times people can't quite place me, or I have sometimes a mostly American accent, and then it's like a mix of some European and then some Nigerian. It's because that's, you know, just the way I grew up. But initially, no one ever thinks I'm Nigerian, and then you go back to Nigeria, I'm only Nigerian, and then people are like, "Well, are you Nigerian?" And so it's always back and forth. Where I remember that's what set me down this path when I was a 10-year-old kid, to sort of figure out what it's like to actually have true culture competency, because I believe that that's how we can actually become true global leaders. I'm curious, from your perspective, your point of view, how that has played out in your personal life and in your career and what you've done to sort of bridge those interesting cultural gaps or divides.
Well, it's interesting. So when I moved out to London some time ago, 15 years ago, then I had a few Swedish friends from back home and other places. And one by one, they all sort of moved either back to Sweden or somewhere else. And so then for about 10 years, probably, I just didn't have any friends from Sweden. And I was living a very un-Swedish life. But now I've got kids, so 3 and 5 years old. Now, again, it's coming back to the Swedish heritage. I want them to learn Swedish and Swedish customs and all these things. So now I'm trying to push the Swedish agenda pretty hard. I've tried to combine the two cultures. And I think from the outside, people say, oh, wow, you're Swedish. I really love Swedish culture. I love ABBA, or I love this and that. typically, the connotation of being Swedish is usually very positive, which I've been told that I should use that more in my business life. That's kind of how I try to handle it. But I also lived in I lived in the US for a year. I lived in Germany for a year and a half as well. So I feel connected to a few different places here and there. And just try to pick the cherries from each place. That's probably, I'll try to make sense of it.
Yeah, no, and in my experience as well, because my brother was born in Sweden. When people always joke, because obviously they're not a lot of people that look like me in Sweden. That's what they said. And I was at a presentation, and someone said, someone was saying something like, I went to Sweden. This is a white gentleman said, I think I only saw 2 black people. And then I said, yeah, I was probably one of those 2 black people. And he was like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that you were born there, because I'm used to just tall, blonde, blue-eyed. Now, that's a stereotype. How can you correct some of these stereotypes that people have about Scandinavia in general or Sweden? Because I imagine it's not just tall, blonde, blue-eyed.
No, I think, that is a stereotype. So actually, my wife, she's English. And when we went to Sweden the first time, to Stockholm, she had that. She thought everyone would be blonde, blue-eyed, really tall, and so on. But that's, if you get in Stockholm, that's not what people look like. Yeah. But I think if you're out in the countryside, then yes, perhaps a bit more so. But I think Sweden does a fantastic job at being very diverse and very a very equal society as well.
Yeah,
you can follow on Twitter, for instance, it's @Sweden, and a few different accounts where they're really. I think it's very, very inclusive culture is being projected on there.
Absolutely,
I think Sweden's really trying to. Yeah, so I think Sweden has really strong culture, but it's also very inclusive and welcoming. The country took on a lot of refugees from Syria a couple of years ago, actually more than Germany. Germany took in about 1 million. Sweden, I didn't take in more in real numbers, but it took in more proportionally. So it took in about a couple of 100,000, and that's a lot of people for a country with only 9 million people. So it's a diverse place. So I think you and me, we should go back there.
We should.
For an expedition.
I absolutely want to do that, because I do agree with you on the sense that, Sweden, Norway, Finland, a lot of these policies, whether it's with equality, gender equality, all these things, or with employer branding even, they're studied, because there's a lot of interesting policies that you all have towards egalitarian rule that a lot of people are like, maybe we should try it like Sweden does it, or we should do it Finland does it. So I also love the fact that you highlighted the diversity. The best Swedish player that I know is Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yes, for sure.
So yeah, and he looks completely different than what you would normally think a Swedish person is. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah, he's a funny guy in English, but especially in Swedish too. Cause, he's got a Bosnian origin, I think.
Yeah.
But he speaks with a really thick Malmo accent, so a South Sweden accent.
So I'm a huge Manchester United fan. So I loved when he was here. You know, Manchester United is my favorite sports franchise of all time. So the whole third person, Zlatan, is this. I am here. This is and even when he's here right now he's here in the States, and you know, he's obviously had that brilliant goal on his first game. But he does a good job of making cocky funny, so no one gets mad at him, because it's like, it's just confident. That's just Latin. this is amazing. So the ways that people can reach out to you are what
ways? Well, check out the podcast at employerbrandingpodcast.com, or go to linkhumans.com to learn more about my company, or just hit me up on Twitter or LinkedIn. I'm very, very happy to exchange messages.
All right. This has been an amazing episode. I loved just how you took us on the journey of what employee advocacy is, and what employer branding is, and just even maybe potentially dispelling some stereotypes and encouraging people to actually check out Sweden more, because it is a beautiful country, especially from what I remember, and definitely one I need to go visit. So really, really excited that you came on. I always ask my guests this question. This is the last question. And my mission statement, the mission statement for what I do and my foundation essentially is use your difference to make a difference. This is my reason for anything that I do today.
Like it.
Oh, thank you. It's a mission statement of my company. So I always ask my guests that question. How do you, Jorgen, use your difference to make a difference?
Oh, gosh. Good question. Well, I mean, I'll counter with my mission statement is to make the world of work a better place. And I think that has manifested itself in some different ways. I try to just instill good work practices, good workplace practices, and things like diversity and inclusion, or whether it's health and well-being. All these things that good positive forces, and if we can instill that in the workplace, then I feel that I'm making a contribution. And I think my difference is perhaps that I've got an international background, and I try to share all the tips and strategies that I learn in different ways, blogging and writing books and doing podcasts. So hopefully it makes a difference by being different.
Absolutely. You've certainly made a difference in my life with some of the episodes. I love it. But I think you contribute in such a grand way, in the sense that, like I was saying at the beginning, if you really look at your life, a lot of what you spend your life doing is working, and you're helping to create safe environments for that. So you essentially touching the lives of millions and millions of people, and making it an effective and efficient place for them to be themselves. So definitely love that. And thank you for being you.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure is mine. Ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.